August 23rd, Shamranandini Bhakti Tava Vivek.
Bestow to the Sri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev. Om Vishnupad, Astotara Satashri Srimad, Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. Now we are continuing with our study of Sri Bhakti Tattva Vivek by Sat Goswami, the seventh Goswami, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. As you remember, Bhakti Tattva Vivek is the Bengali accessible version of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Rupa Goswami's disappearance day is coming up in just a few days, and so it's very appropriate that we're studying his work by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is none other than the manifestation of Sri Gadadhar Prabhu, who is not different from Srimati Radhika. We can't actually imagine our fortune. And then it's coming through the medium of Srila Gurudev. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada's books, we can understand things better and better. So now Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining the verse, which is one of the three verses that those who are enrolled in this course are going to memorize. And this is the first verse. Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karmadya navratam anukulyena krishnana sivanam bhaktir uttamam. The cultivation of activities that are meant exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna, or in other words, the uninterrupted flow of service to Krishna performed through all endeavors of the body, mind, and speech, and through the expression of various spiritual sentiments called bhavas, which are not covered by gyan, meaning knowledge aimed at impersonal liberation, and karma, reward-seeking activity, and which is devoid of all desires other than the aspiration to bring happiness to Krishna. This is the definition of pure devotional service. And pure devotional service is the only, absolutely only, activity of the pure soul. So therefore, unless the soul is engaged in this activity, he can never be happy. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of wearing a shirt or a coat and trying to eat by putting food into the pockets of the coat or jacket. There'll always be frustration. So similarly, if one tries to make happy the body and mind, it's just like trying to clean the bird cage without feeding the bird. This body is just like a cage. The cage is meant for the undoing of the bird, not that the bird is meant for the upkeep of the cage. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining now, word for word, the meaning of this verse for the purpose of helping others to not be cheated and for the purpose of helping ourselves not to be cheated. We discussed yesterday that he's using the word Uttama Bhakti rather than just Bhakti, because Uttama Bhakti means that devotion which is devoid of any contamination, adulteration, or attachment to material possessions, and it is performed in an exclusive manner just for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. When you want to understand the qualities of anything, it's essential to understand what it's devoid of. For example, pure water is devoid of any mixture of any other substance. So it has no color, it has no odor, it has no other taste mixed with its own taste. So very simply, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining Srila Rupa Goswami's verse. Then he, breaking the verse down into two, the intrinsic attributes of bhakti, which is the last two lines of the verse, and the marginal attributes, which is the first two lines of the verse. He's explaining that when somebody's a pure devotee, when he's situated in his siddha-deha, his actual spiritual body, then there's no consideration of the first two lines of the verse. There's no consideration of gyan, impersonal knowledge, knowledge leading to impersonal liberation, or the consideration of fruitive activities. Those thoughts never enter the minds of devotees, of pure devotees. It's very interesting, because why? Because their only thought is how to please Krishna. There's never a fraction of a second where they have time to think about anything else. They're only thinking. Anytime they see anything, touch anything, feel anything, they're always considering, how is this good for Krishna? In Jiva Dharma, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that the reason that we're suffering in the material world is because we don't have an interest in pleasing Krishna. We have an interest in pleasing ourselves. And there are so many obstacles to becoming happy. In the spiritual world, there's also all kinds of miseries, like forest fires, big demons that are as big as King Kong, and impediments in meeting one's beloved. So many miseries. But because everyone is situated in prema, the nature of prema is that it devours all the miseries. And the more miseries come, the more that miseries come, the more prema turns those miseries into increased happiness. So better that there's more miseries. And because the associates of Krishna only think of Krishna whenever there's danger, how can we get Krishna out of this danger? They don't feel the danger. They're only absorbed in Krishna and thinking, how can Krishna be happy in this circumstance? So that's the difference between the spiritual and material world. So when somebody's just beginning bhakti, he has to be very careful to avoid those things that will make bhakti never come. One is knowledge leading to impersonal liberation, and two is fruitive activities, activities performed to enjoy one's fruits. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is quoting Srila Jiva Goswami on the word anusilanam. He says that it means the cultivation of endeavors to engage and disengage one's body, mind, and words. That is, there are some things that we should do and some things that we shouldn't do. Pravritti Mulaka and Nivritti Mulaka, things to do and things to avoid. Do honor Krishna Prasadam. Don't go to the movies. And both of them are endeavors of the body and mind and words. Also, Anusilana means a cultivation of our affection through the sentiments of the heart and the mind. And Anusilanam is of two types. One is the cultivation through the mind and the sentiments, and that is included in Chasta. I mean, that's the mind. The mind is included in Chasta. Chasta means activities. Activities of the body, mind, senses. And the other division of Anusilanam. Anu meaning continual, and Silanam meaning activities. And Anu also means under guidance, activities done under guidance of Sri Guru and Guru Parampara. So part of the meaning of Anusilanam is Chasta, that is endeavors with the body, mind, and senses and works. And then the other part of Anusilanam is the internal sentiments, that is the bhavs. And these are mutually interdependent. What's the difference between the bhavs and the mind, one might ask? So the bhavs are when the soul's feelings are coming out. And therefore, Uttama Bhakti starts on a very high level when sadhana is pure for attaining Bhava Bhakti. So when all the activities of the body, mind, and words are favorable for favorably executing itself for the pleasure of Krishna, that is called bhakti. Like we can see at every moment what we're doing. I walk into a room, what am I thinking? How can I be happy by finding a comfortable chair? Or am I thinking, are the deities nicely situated? Is it warm enough for them or cold enough for them? So this one is bhakti and the other is, as we're coming to a new section, called bhukti. There's a very interesting verse that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur will be quoting, that there are two great impediments in bhakti not coming. And this is the second verse that those who are enrolled in this class will be memorizing. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pisachi hridivartate tavat bhakti sukhas Yatra katam abhyudayo bhavet. As long as the two witches of the desires for bhukti and mukti, bhukti means material sense gratification, and mukti means impersonal liberation, and as we continue, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur will be explaining very elaborately the meaning of these two words. As long as these two are there in one's heart, not even a fraction of pure happiness derived from pure bhakti called Swarup Siddha Bhakti will arise. Both the happiness of the body, you know, material gross sense gratification, like seeing a movie or eating foods that aren't offered to Krishna, or just feeling great that I just got praised. All of that is under the category of bhukti. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very interesting list. He says, to make an extraneous effort to remain free from disease for my own pleasure, or to desire palatable foodstuffs, strength, and power for myself, wealth, followers, wife, children for myself, fame and victory are all considered bhukti, or mundane sense gratification. The desire to take one's birth in a Brahmana family or a royal family, or to go to heaven and get heavenly enjoyment in the next life, that's also in the category of bhukti. To get mystic powers, like there are 8 kinds of mystic powers, one can become lighter than an atom, or heavier than a planet, one can bring others under his control, so many varieties of mystic powers. They're also in the category of bhukti. And this greed, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, this greed for bhukti forces us to become subordinate to the 6 enemies headed by lust and anger. That is lust, greed, anger, pride, illusion, and envy. If somebody is interested in bhukti, he's easily overcome by envy. And envy is so painful. He's looking for happiness, but instead he enters into pain. Therefore, the verse Anyabhilashita Sunyam begins with Anyabhilashita Sunyam Jnana Karma Anadi. Jnana Karma Adi. So this is karma, means the desire to enjoy the fruits of my activities, and this is all under the category of bhukti. So when one is giving up bhukti, the desire for bhukti, the conditioned soul doesn't have to. See, here's the thing. It's not that one has to give up these items. One doesn't have to give up strength, power, food, wealth, followers, wife, children, and all that. He has to engage it in Krishna's service for Krishna's happiness. Even if one just gives them up and goes to the forest and wears the dress of a sannyasi, he's not going to be free from the desire for bhukti. The only way he'll be free from desire is by wanting to use those things in Krishna's service. So that's very interesting. And this is called Jukta Vairagya. Vairagya means renunciation, but Jukta means appropriate. Appropriate renunciation means to see how all those things are related to Krishna, belong to Krishna, and thus want to please Krishna in relation to all those things. Otherwise, renunciation is called falgu, or useless. Just like a monkey, he lives in the forest, he doesn't have any clothes, he doesn't have a refrigerator or anything to store things, but he's always jumping from one tree to another looking for lady monkeys. So this is falgu vairagya. One cannot be free from the different sense objects like touch, sound, smell, taste, form. But if he perceives the world in such a way that he can see that everything is related to Krishna. By the way, are you all there still? Without seeing you, it's hard to know if you're still there. Isha Prabhu, are we still connected? Vasanti? Vasanti? Oh, you're there? Oh, okay, great. All right, I'll continue. What? What'd you say? Okay. Should I wait or should I continue? Okay. So therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's imperative to abandon the desire for bhakti. And now we're going to be coming to another desire that he's telling us to abandon, and that is the desire for mukti. What is mukti? We know generally that mukti means impersonal liberation. So let's discuss this from the point of view of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur more deeply. There's five kinds of mukti, and in that regard, there's a verse from Lord Kapiladev that Srila Prabhupada would often quote. Salokishasti samipya sarupyai katvamakyuta diyamanam nagrinanti bina matsevanam jana. Sri Kapiladev tells his mother, Devahuti, oh, my dear mother, despite being offered the five kinds of liberation known as Salokya, Sharsti, Samipya, Sarupa, and Ekatva, my pure devotees do not accept them. They only accept my transcendental loving service. So these particular types of liberation, the first four, are all in relation to residence in Vaikuntha. One is living on the same planet as the Lord. One is having the same opulence as the Lord. One is having the same form as the Lord. One is being near the Lord. And the devotees may accept them if it's favorable for Krishna's service. But they'll never accept Sayuja Mukti, which is of two kinds. One is called, this is impersonal liberation, and that's broken up into two: Brahma Sayuja and Ishvara Sayuja. Brahma Sayuja, they want to merge into the Lord's effulgence, and the followers of Ishvara Sayuja, they want to merge into Krishna's form. And both of them should be completely rejected. They're like despicable for a devotee to lose one's individual identity and merge into the Lord, either his effulgence or into his body. So if one follows what he's calling bhakti for this purpose, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that his devotion is temporary and fraudulent, because they're just using bhakti in order to attain Brahman and become the Lord himself, either thinking that the Lord has a form or thinking that the Lord doesn't have a form. And that's why in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord insists that one should avoid the association of Mayavadis. So unalloyed devotion never resides in the hearts of those who consider Sayuja Mukti to be the ultimate perfection. Then regarding the other types of liberation, that is going to Vaikuntha with those four types of liberation, then there's two kinds of that. There's Sukha Aishwarya Pradhanakari, that is where there's more prominence of desiring my own happiness and opulence of having the form of the Lord or same form as the Lord or being near him or having the same opulences, being on his planet. And there's Prem Seva Pradhanakari, and that's completely loving transcendental service to the Lord. That one pure devotees accept. So it's very, very scientific, all of these terms. It's not unimportant to learn the terms. because the terms go along with conceptions. And I can't know how to do something unless I know what to avoid simultaneously. Suppose I'm learning that I have to cook for Krishna. So I also have to learn that don't put your hand in your mouth while you're cooking for Krishna. Don't put your hand in your mouth anyway. But if you happen to, then immediately wash your hands. So there has to be do's and don'ts. In the Nectar of Devotion, it's explained that there are so many rules and regulations, but they're all servants of one rule. That is, always remember Krishna. And whenever there's a rule, there's a corresponding prohibitive activity. And the prohibitive activity is never forget him, even for a moment. So this is expanded by this definition of pure bhakti by Srila Rupa Goswami and explained elaborately by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the manifestation of Sri Gadadhar Pandit. So now, do I ask for questions in the middle, or do I wait for the end, or what? What'd you say? Well, at any time, I'm sitting in front of the computer. At any time, if anybody has any questions, I'll see it coming in, and then I can address it. Okay. Okay, and then yesterday I got a letter from Nityananda Prabhu, who was hearing, and he asked that yesterday we were studying from Srila Gurudev's preface that an introduction that the 100-year period before Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a dark period for Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So Nityananda Prabhu is asking that isn't our disciplic succession eternal? Aren't there always pure devotees in the world? So the answer is yes. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the Shiksha disciple of the most pure devotee, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. But other pure devotees weren't engaged in prominently preaching. They were more, say, locally preaching. So, who eradicated the misconceptions, waited for eradicating the misconceptions everywhere that waited for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So if anybody has questions, you can just interrupt at any time. Otherwise, I'm continuing. So now Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very much elaborating on the discussion of the cultivation of jnana. One should avoid jnana karmadi anavritam. One should avoid the cultivation of jnana. So here we know that it's not tattva jnana that one should avoid, but one should avoid knowledge that is pursuing impersonal liberation. There's knowledge that comes automatically by bhakti. There's three kinds of knowledge of who is Bhagavan, knowledge, the proper knowledge of who is Bhagavan, that is, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of Lords, he's creating innumerable universes, and he can dissolve them in the next second. So that kind of knowledge is not as good for bhakti. And then the other kind of knowledge that's good is knowledge of the soul. Who am I? I'm part and parcel of Krishna. My duty is to serve Krishna. That knowledge is good. So that when it says, anyavilasita sunyam, jnana, it means impersonal knowledge. Then, the word anyavilasita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that it's not that the devotee has to become free from the concept of desire. He only has to become free from any desire other than the desire to give happiness to Krishna. He should continue with his desires and increase his desires to give happiness to Krishna. So when it says he should be free from desire, it only means material desire. Then another thing to be free from is the desire to get material benefits from the yoga processes. If you'll just excuse me for 1 minute, I have to plug in the microphone because the battery's dying out. Hold on 1 second. So one should be free from trying to become happy by the processes of mystic yoga, to attain powers, or hatha yoga, to attain good health. Now, a lot of devotees do hatha yoga, and I also do hatha yoga, yoga postures. So do we have to give those up because we hear they're good for health? If my health is used for sense gratification, then I should give it up. If my health is used in Krishna's service, then it's favorable. So it's the cultivation of activities that are favorable for the satisfaction of Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is then discussing the various kinds of bhakti, which some of them are real bhakti and some of them are not bhakti. He's discussing Aropasita bhakti, he's discussing Sangasita bhakti, and he's discussing Sarupasita bhakti. Aropasita bhakti are those activities which we claim to be bhakti but really isn't bhakti. And Sangasita bhakti are those activities that are associated with bhakti and may be favorable to bhakti but are not bhakti. For example, friendliness and equality to all, being equal to everyone, being nice to everyone. These are activities that a bhakti would also do, or gravity. These are mentalities that a bhakti has, but unless it's and also a bhakti automatically has these moods of humility, gravity, being renounced. But just because someone is renounced, it doesn't mean that he's a bhakta. If somebody is in the association of bhaktas and he's very friendly, it may look like his friendliness is bhakti, but it's not, because that person would be friendly in any circumstance. But if he's using that in Krishna's service, then that's good. But the kind of bhakti that's synonymous with uttama bhakti, which is kaitava sunya, or free from any deceit, is called swarup siddha bhakti. Swarup siddha bhakti means those activities which are constituted of the limbs of bhakti, like hearing about Krishna, remembering Krishna, chanting Krishna's name, engaging in Krishna's service, going to the holy places, offering prayers to Krishna. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one is advised to practice Swarup Siddha Bhakti. Then automatically the good qualities come. He says, O my dear intimate Vaishnavas, by your constitutional nature, that is your soul, you are naturally attracted to Swarup Siddha Bhakti. Naturally, by your soul, you have no taste for Arop Siddha Bhakti. As you remember, we discussed yesterday, Arop Siddha Bhakti means that I like to do something, so I'm donating a part of that to Krishna so that Krishna will make me happy in this world. He'll be pleased. But not that his pleasure is the end. For an uttama bhakta, if I've pleased Krishna, that's the end. I'm happy that he's happy. But in a rope siddha bhakti, I want to please Krishna so that he can make me happy in this world. He'll be pleased to make me happy. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, oh my dear intimate Vaishnavas, you're not this body, you're not this mind, you're pure soul. So by your constitutional nature, the constitutional nature of your soul, you are only attracted to this Swarup Siddha Bhakti. You have no taste for Rupa Siddha Bhakti or Sangha Siddha Bhakti. So unless we're doing the functions of our real self, then it's just like cleaning the bird cage without feeding the bird. And then we can never be happy. The bird is never happy. Rather, the bird is starving, starving more, and then finally it dies. So these other kind of bhaktis, what's called bhakti, that is Sangha Siddha Bhakti and Arop Siddha Bhakti, these are actually bhakti abhas, means a semblance of bhakti, but not really bhakti. If one is engaged in bhakti abhas and he has good association, then gradually his activities can be turned into pure devotion. But it's not easy. If one is only practicing this, therefore all the scriptures enjoin that one follows Swarup Siddha Bhakti. Then there's another verse quoted by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is the third verse that all those enrolled in this course will be learning. And that is learning for this first chapter. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayata Suvairagyam Jnanam Chayadahoitukam. Bhakti Yoga that is performed for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva brings about detachment from all things unrelated to him and gives rise to pure devotion, pure knowledge that is free from any motive for liberation and directed exclusively towards the attainment of him. So by engaging in bhakti yoga, that is pure bhakti, what does pure mean? It means for the satisfaction of Krishna. Who is the Supreme Lord Vasudeva? You could say it's the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, but Nanda Maharaj is also called Vasudeva. He's really the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. One who does that kind of bhakti yoga, automatically detachment comes. Srila Gurudev was just explaining in Germany, I think it was Germany, and this past tour. How does one become detached by bhakti yoga? For example, you'll be hearing from the guru about the activities of King Puranjana and King Pururava and other related histories where you'll be learning about the miseries of this material world. And by such hearing from the pure source, you'll automatically become detached. So very interestingly, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining that this verse, Vasudeva Bhagavati, in relation to the original verse about bhakti yoga, Anyavilasita Sunyam, he says, by carefully reviewing all the previous statements, we can understand that to remain uncovered by jnana, karma, and so forth, which means accepting them as subservient to bhakti, and engaging all the activities to please Krishna. That real knowledge will automatically come, and the fruits of our activities will automatically bring us perfection and happiness when we engage in bhakti yoga. He explains that bhakti is the only means by which the living entity can attain transcendental bliss. Besides bhakti yoga, all other methods are external. And with the assistance of bhakti, sometimes karma or fruit of activity is identified as aropsita bhakti. And by the assistance of bhakti, endeavors that are indirectly attributed with the quality of devotion, but a little bit mixed with impersonal knowledge, that's called samasita bhakti. So without bhakti, jnana and karma are useless. They have nothing to do with the self, and they can only cause misery. So I think we'll end here. And if anybody has any questions, I'll just give you a moment to write them down. And unless Isha Prabhu or Chuta Krishna Prabhu have questions. Well, I'm sorry. Are you talking to me? Is that, if it's suitable for you, I don't want to keep anybody up late. I remember last year people were complaining that they were too tired because it was like 11 o'clock at night. Means 9:30 your time? Okay, and what time is that? Okay. Alright, we'll do that tomorrow then. Okay. Okay, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai, Sri Bhakti Tattva Vivek ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.
네가 그리고 Yeah, I answered it in the class. I already sent you a ton of names. I forgot to write to Mongol. Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharika Ji Hari Sri Sri Radha Vinodi Hari Ji Jai Nityananda Pradishtam Vishnu Pai Stoli Sri Sri Shila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Ho Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Kripaja Vacharya Astotra Sati Sri Sri Shila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Jai Ho Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Kripaja Vacharya Astotra Sati Sri Sri Shila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Nityananda Pradishtam Vishnu Pada Astotra Sati Sri Sri Thank you.